Okay. We're in the Gemara Kedushin Chav Tes Amid Beis in the Schottenstein is 29b3, 10 lines from the end of the page. In the Mishnah was discussing that if somebody rapes a girl, God forbid, so even though it's a mamzeres and all these different types of people, he still has to pay knas. He still has to pay the fine, even though he wouldn't be allowed to marry them. Okay, that was the Gemara is talking about. And the Gemara asked, where do we learn it out from? So the Gemara said there's two opinions. There's, because the Pasuk says, v'loy sihi al-isha, that you have to marry the guy, right? If it's not shaykh to marry the person because it's forbidden, so why should you have to pay a fine? That was the Gemara's discussion. So the Gemara answered before, Reish Lakish answers, because it says three times the word naida, naida, naida. One to tell us that any girl you have to, that you rape, you have to pay a fine. One is to tell us even if it's a girl that's only forbidden with a negative commandment, you also have to pay a fine. And even a girl that's chayiv karis, that the God kills, you also have to. Rabbi Papa says a different answer. It says psula, psula, psula. It's the same thing. So Gemara asks, why do they disagree with each other? Because one needs for one pasuk, one needs for another pasuk. Okay, now the Gemara asking this.
You want 29b2, right?
B3, I said.
I don't see Leid Lucky's on this
page. I was reading from before. Now we're up to Rabbi Kiva. Oh. Okay, 29b3, first column, 10 lines in the end of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, so they have 1 minute. So what did the Gemara say? That the difference between the various different opinions is what the Gemara is saying now, mamzeres and his sina ika beinayo. Because one opinion says like this, a mamzeres, you can't marry. But if you give kedushin, it's valid. Because by only a negative command, we learned before, the kedushin is valid. Just what Bezdin kills you by chorus, it's not a valid kedushin. Meaning like this, if a guy comes over to mamzeres, he's not allowed to marry her. But he gives her a ring and says it in front of two witnesses. Hareat mukadashasli, it's a valid kedushin. Can he stay married to her? No, because she's a mamzer. But the kedushin is valid. Right? So until now, the Gemara was saying that the difference between the various different opinions is if you can have kedushin with the woman, but you can't stay married to her, is that part of the knas system or not? So the Gemara asks a question like this now. This is what we're up to. With Rabbi Kiva, Da'amar Ein Kedushin Teifsin B'chai V'lavin, we learned before in the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that even if it's only a negative commandment, the Kedushin is not valid. Okay? Meaning, according to Rabbi Kiva, if a guy went over to Mamzeres and gave her a ring, it wouldn't be valid Kedushin. That means not, see, the opinion we said before is, it's a valid kedushin, but you can't stay with her. So that would be the difference between the two opinions. But according to Rabbi Kiva, that it's not even a valid kedushin, what's the difference whether the reason is the kedushin is valid or not, or she cannot stay married to the guy? So the Gemara says like this, my benayu, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ika benayu, almana l'kayin gadol, kerapsimba. You know, let's discuss this for a few minutes before we get into the technicalities of the Gemara. We learned before in the Gemara, certain forbidden relations, it's totally a not valid kedushin. Like we said last time, if a guy is a single sister, okay, sister single, he comes over to a boy comes over to a sister. A brother comes over to the sister, gives her a ring, and says, Ariat Mukadashasli, in front of two witnesses, it's totally invalid. She doesn't need a get. Right? Not only are they not allowed to be married, brother and a sister, but if he gives a kedushin, it's not at all a valid kedushin because it's capital punishment, and everybody agrees such a kedushin is not a good kedushin. Rabbi Kiva comes along and says, that's only when there's capital punishment involved. If it's only a negative commandment, and I'll give you cases in a minute, where the Torah says, you're not allowed to marry this person. And if you do, you don't get capital punishment. You have to divorce it, but you don't get capital punishment. Rabbi Kiva says, even then it's not a valid Kedushin. For instance, not according to Rabbi Kiva's opinion, a boy comes over to a girl who's a mamzer, a mamzeres. Okay? He's not allowed to marry her. He gives her a ring and says, in front of two witnesses, according to everybody else except Rabbi Kiva, it's a valid Kedushin. Can he marry the girl? No, he has to give a get. But the girl becomes an Eishes Ish. She cannot marry anybody else without a get. I did not allow to get married. But the Chachamim hold, because the prohibition is only a negative commandment without any capital punishment, they'll get Malkus, but they were not going to get capital punishment. So then the din is, the Kedushin is valid. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's forbidden. Even then, the Kedushin is not valid. Another example. A Kohen cannot marry a Grusha. A Kohen cannot marry a divorcee. If he does, and has a kid, the kid's not a mamzer. Right? Well, maybe according to Rabbi Kiva, but according to the Chachamim, at least. A Kohen comes over to a divorcee. Now, divorcee can marry whoever she wants, right? Except a Kohen. But a Kohen comes over to the divorcee, in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, says that, or a dollar, whatever. La'locha, the marriage is valid. If this divorcee will go marry somebody else without getting a get from this Kohen, she's going to get this killed for adultery. Now, can the Kohen stay married to her? No, because the Kohen can't marry a Grusha. So he has to divorce her. But did she become a valid married woman? 100%. Correct? Now, when this din of Knas that the Gemara was talking about before, the Gemara differentiated between two opinions. If it's not a good Kedushin, or the Kedushin is good, but they cannot stay married. And we had all the cases of Chai V'Lavin, anytime is a negative commandment, the Kedushin is valid, but he can't stay married to her. So the question is, which girls get the Knas, the fine? But the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Kedushin is not valid. Right? So what's the difference between the opinion that says the Kedushin is not valid, or he cannot stay married to her as far as paying Knas, the fine goes? According to Rabbi Kiva, it's not a Kedushin anyway. Where do we find, the Gemara is asking basically, a case of Kedushin, which according to Rabbi Kiva would be okay, valid, but he can't stay married to her. Understand? Because that's what the Gemara is looking for now. Because in this braisa it says, "Leisia leisha," he has to marry her. So shimonati money means only a woman that has kedushin effective. Reb Shimon Menashe says, "No, a woman that you need to be able to stay married to." So the Gemara is looking according for. So basically, normally by all most forbidden relations, there's no kedushin, and you cannot stay married. There are cases, like Lav, that the Kedushin is valid, but you cannot stay married. Right? But according to Rabbi Kiva, where do you find the case of valid Kedushin, and you cannot stay married to her? So the Gemara answers, Ika bina amonu l'kayin gadol like Rav Simoi holds. Meaning like this, a kayin gadol cannot marry a widow. A regular kayin could. Cannot marry a divorcee, but he can marry a widow. According to Amona, a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a widow either. The question is, if a Kohen Gadol gives Kedushin to Almona, is it valid or not? So now according to Rabbi Kiva, for sure it's valid. Right? Because the kids are not mamzeim, it's not capital punishment, you have to divorce him. So he says like this, what did Rav Simoi say? He says that Rav Simoi holds like this, Min hakoil, any forbidden relationship, which is even if it's a negative commandment, he holds Eis Rabbi Kiva mamzeidim. Rabbi Kiva says you're all mamzeidim, meaning if a kohen marries a grusha, according to Rabbi Kiva, the kids are mamzer. There's no capital punishment. that Bekiva, even a negative commandment only, but there's no death penalty. Like a kohen with a grusha, a kohen with a divorcee, everybody says the kid's not a mamzer, it's a cholo. He's not a kohen. If it's a grusha, he cannot marry a kohen. But Rabbi Kiva holds the kid's a mamzer, except almana to a kohen gadol. Why? He said because of a pasuk. Because the Torah states about a kohen gadol, the yikach, he cannot take a widow. And then it says, v'lo yechalo zari, he should not profane his children. So Gemara says, chilulu no eisen, he only profanes them, but he doesn't make them a mamzer. In other words, it's a very interesting thing. According to Rav, what's his name? Simoi, he says like this, by almanu l'kohen gadol, it's a negative commandment. Almanu grushu v'chal es'elu lo yikach. He can't marry an almanu. But by Almana, the Torah uses the word, he should not mechalel the zari. Cholol means they're Jewish, but they're not, kohen. But they're full-fledged Jews. Not like a mamzer who cannot marry a Jewish girl. This cholol can marry a Jewish girl.
But you can't marry a kohen.
A cholola can marry anybody except a kohen. But she's 100% Jewish, not like a mamzer. So the fact that by Almonita Kohen Gadol, the Torah uses the expression, you should not profane the child, means you're not making it a mamzer, you're just profaning it.
What if you don't know?
What do you mean you don't know?
What if the daughter doesn't know she can't marry a Kohen?
And she marries a Kohen, they got a divorce.
So in Rabbi Kiva's opinion, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, if the woman falls around,
he's
not susceptible to...
So, Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow?
If he gives Kiddush, according to Rabbi Kiva...
If he's not valid, Rabbi Kiva... Doesn't
yeah, yeah. Then the woman wouldn't be a mom. She wouldn't be an Eish
HaSish.
Yeah.
So, Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow.
Correct. It's a Pasuk of Chumash. Besides the fact that according to Rabbi Kiva, if a Kohen does marry a Gadush and has a kid, the kid's a mamzer. But according to Rabbi Kiva, if a kohen does kedusha with a grusha, she's not considered a married woman. The kedusha is worthless.
Because it's not bad.
Right. So then, if she commits adultery, she wouldn't get killed. It's like if a guy does kedusha, like we said before, with a single sister. Yeah, it's totally invalid. Then she goes lives with somebody. She's not going to get capital punishment because she's not a married woman. According to Rabbi Kiva, Kohen with a grusha is not a married woman. But by Amana, the Kohen Gadol is explicitly. So the Gemara says no. And he says, Rabbi Yesheva, but according to Rabbi Yesheva, who says, Baal v'nitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef, let us scream against Akiva ben Yosef, Shoya Emet, because Rabbi Kiva used to say, Kol Sheni Bia B'Yisrael, any among Jews who cannot have this relationship, meaning Avalad Mamzer, even then the kid's a Mamzer. So according to him, even a Kohen Gadol with Almana is also a Mamzer. So maybe now, where do we have the difference? In other words, where do you find the case that Kedushin is valid, but you can't stay married to her? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayo, it's like this. Next page. Chayev Esim Mitzri V'Ademi. Now, the Torah says, by a Mitzri, it's a positive commandment only, not a negative commandment. It says, Gam dar shlishi yover lehem bekal Hashem.
Third generation.
Third generation, meaning like this. What do you mean third generation? Mitzri converts, he can marry another Mitzri convert. Their kids are second generation converts. Their third generation, then they can come into the Jewish people. Now, there's no negative commandment there. It says about a Mitzri, let me get the Chumash.
Doshlishi.
Yeah, but I'm saying it doesn't say clearly no.
No, only positive.
Yeah, it said the third generation could come in. I just want to get the whole question.
But by Adomi it says negative?
I'll tell you in a second. So. Here. He says like this, Laisis Aiv Adami, don't hate a guy from Edom, Ki Achicho is your brother. Laisis Aiv Mitzri, don't hate a Mitzri, because you lived in the land. Then it says like this, Banim Asher Yivoldu Lahem Dar Shlishi, the children from the third generation, Yavir Lahem Bekal Hashem, they could come into the nation. Which implies the first two generations, you can't. But the Torah doesn't explicitly say no. Right? All the Torah says is the third generation could be married, which means the first two not. Correct? So it's not a negative commandment anymore. Now, so the Gemara says, because that's only a positive mitzvah, right? So according to Rabbi Kiva, it would still be a good kedushin. Because what does Rabbi Kiva hold? Even a negative commandment is not a good kedushin. But what happens if it's not forbidden because of a negative commandment? It's forbidden because it's a positive mitzvah, at which from the positive mitzvah we only derive it as a negative. So then the kedushin would be good. So there you have a case. In other words, like this, according to Rabbi Kiva, the difference would be if it's a wife with a kedushin, or a wife that you could stay married to, would be if a guy raped a first or second generation Egyptian girl that converted. Right? Obviously they converted, otherwise they're a shiksa. Speaking of the first generation converted, second generation converted, right? So then, the kedushin is valid, because it's only forbidden because of a positive mitzvah, but he cannot stay married to the girl because it's a second generation in Egypt. You can't marry.
So which case are you allowed to stay married with him?
Never.
In any other case?
The Gemara is just trying to find out a case that the Kedushin is valid, but you cannot stay married to them. So first the Gemara started with negative. The ones that only have negative, right? Kedushin is valid, but you can't stay married to him. So, but according to Rabbi Kiva, even that's not a kedushin valid. So he says, "Amana tarkayin gadol." It's a valid kedushin, but you can't live with her. So Gemara says, but according to Rabbi Shevav, it would anyway be no good. So Gemara says, a mitzri, which only forbidden from, which is derived from a positive mitzvah. The Torah said the third generation can marry, which means the first and second can't. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Hey, Nichol, Rabbi Yosheviv, that would only be good according to Rabbi Yosheviv if he's excluding Rab Simoi. Because he said we could scream at Rabbi Akiva. Shapit then is good. But if he says his own reason, which means that Rabbi Akiva says, Kol she'ein lo biyam biyisrael, anytime you cannot have relations with them, have a lad mamzer, the kids of mamzer, then afilo chai ve'es, even if it be a positive mitzvah, you can't. In other words, this Gemara is asking, there's two ways of learning Rav Yosheviv. One is that he's saying negative commandments is no good, but positive is a good, valid kedushin. But if he's saying his own din, that any time you're not allowed to live with the girl, the kid is a mamzer, meaning the kedushin is not valid, the kedushin wouldn't be valid, so then even that case of Kondra Bekiva wouldn't be a good Kedushin. Because he still can't stay married. It's only a positive mitzvah. But from the positive mitzvah, you learn out that the first and second generation, you cannot live with her. So then it would be again, where do we get? So now that we're back to square one, according to these opinions, where do we find a case, according to Rabbi Kiva, that the Kedushin is valid, but you can't live with her? So Gemara says, okay, there's a different case. Ika b'inayu bu'ula l'kayin gadol. This is another doozer. The Torah says a kohen gadol can only marry a virgin. That's what it says. Almanu grusha v'zeinu chalola ki im besula me'am avikachisha. A kohen gadol can only marry a virgin.
I thought that's any kohen.
No. Can marry a widow. A kohen can marry a girl that had relations with a Jew. A kohen gadol has to marry a virgin. Now, what happens if a Kohen Gadol did Kedushin with a girl that was with another Jew?
That's legitimate. Oh, this is a
Kohen Gadol.
Same category as...
No, Gemara says, Bulu Kohen Gadol, because Rabbi Shevev agrees that the kid's not a mamzer, and the therefore the Kedushin is affecting.
Wait, I'm not sure I get what the question
is.
What?
You still 29B3?
I'm a 30A1, by the way.
I'm sorry, Rev, I'm just what? A little confused. So, the Kohen Gadol marries a Jewish girl who is married to another Jew? Is what you're saying is the case?
Correct.
So what's the problem? If maybe she's still a virgin, though?
Now, if she lived with a guy.
Oh.
I don't mean lived in the same house. I mean, more than that.
So then he has a child with her. That's the setup.
In other words, like this: when the Torah says about a kohen, yeah, and the Gemara said about a kohen gadol, the first answer was almana l'kohen gadol. Okay, because he says the Torah uses the word "do not profane," but the Gemara says like this. If Rabbi Kiva says a statement, any negative commandment, even a kohen marrying an almana, a widow, so the fact that the Torah says he has to marry an almana, so we derive a negative commandment that he can't marry a widow, right? But if a kohen, let's say, violated a girl that was never married, but she was already with a guy. So there's no widow forbidden. It's not a divorce forbidden. The only thing is, he cannot marry her because it says he has to marry a virgin. See, by almana, it says don't marry an almana. Right? So that's still a negative commandment. No, it doesn't say ba'ula not.
The positive put them together, no? Or five, no?
Yeah, but ba'ula would only be forbidden if she was with a guy. That's what makes her a zayna. A kohen, regular kohen, yes, can marry a girl that had relations with a Jew. Why? A kohen cannot marry what's called a zayna. Zayna, Grusha, Isha, Zayn, what's the pasuk? Isha Zayna v'chalala la'yikochel v'isha Grusha me'isha la'yikochel. Okay, it says in Parshas Emor at the beginning. A kohen gadol cannot marry a divorcee. He cannot marry a chalala. Chalala means if a kohen lived with a woman, he's not allowed to. And they had a child, a girl, a kohen cannot marry that girl. Let's say a kohen marries a divorcee. She's not allowed to. Right? And they have a girl. That girl is called a chalala. She cannot marry a kohen. A zayna he cannot marry. What's the definition of a zayna? A girl, this is the definition. In English it's translated prostitute. That's not what it means. Zayna means, as far as the kohen goes, a woman that had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry. If a woman has relations with somebody she's not allowed to marry, that renders her a zayna. So for instance, she can't marry a guy, correct? So if a woman had relations with a guy, because she cannot marry him, she becomes a zayna for life. Even if it happened 50 years ago. Okay?
And children.
What?
And her children are...
According to Rabbi Kiva, the Mamzeinim, according to the most, the Halacha, they're just not Kayan.
They can't marry anybody though.
Yeah. Except if it's a girl, she cannot marry a Kayan. Because she's a Chalala. Yeah? What happens if a woman had relations with a Jewish guy? Technically, she could marry him.
Right.
So she's not a Zayna.
What is she?
Nothing. What happens, Lamashal, if there was incest? Let's see, a brother had relations with his sister. Because she cannot marry the brother, so that she became a Zayna. Okay? The definition of a zayna that a kohen, not a kohen gadol, that a kohen cannot marry, is a woman shenivala lemisha asala, a woman that had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry. So the most classic example is if she was with a guy, right? It's much more common than incest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. But by a kohen gadol, he cannot marry any ba'ula. Any girl that had relations. Because the Torah says, it's not a negative commandment. The Torah says a positive commandment, he must marry a virgin. So if he doesn't marry a virgin, he's not transgressing a negative commandment.
He's transgressing a positive commandment.
Right. That's not going to render her invalid kedushin. Because Rabbi Kiva says, only if it's a negative commandment is not a valid kedusha.
So can they stay together?
No. Oh, so that's a case. Because she's not a virgin. Right? So you cannot stay married to her. But the kedusha is valid. So there you have a case where the kedusha is valid. Meanwhile. And he cannot stay married.
And the kedushin is valid.
So therefore, one second. So if a guy rapes that girl, a kohen rapes such a girl, a ba'ula, depends. If the thing is that he cannot stay married to her, then he doesn't pay fine. Or if the kedushin is valid, then he still does pay a fine. So in this case, there's two opinions. If you hold the kedushin is valid, it's valid, but he cannot stay married to the girl.
And it's valid only because it's not a negative commandment.
Right. So the Gemara asks for 1 minute. But if it's a positive mitzvah, which we derive from it, the negative aspect, so why is it different than mitzvi and adoimi and all those other guys? So the Gemara asks, umayshno. So the Gemara answers an interesting answer. Havalei esa she'ena shava bakil. See, just like this. Adoimi, mitzvi, that the Torah says a positive statement. You could only marry the third generation, which implies the first two not. That's across the board for every single Jew. Right? If it's for every single Jew, the Kedushin is not valid. But this is uniquely only forbidden for a Kohen. The only one that cannot marry a girl that's not a virgin is a Kohen Gadol. So it's not a positive mitzvah which is equal for everybody. So over there, the Kedusha would be effective.
But they can't stay married.
They can't stay married.
But then he's married.
Huh?
He's married.
Yeah. But she would need a get, in other words. Right. And if she doesn't get a get, and she lives with somebody, she's committing adultery. Because she's the Kedushin is valid. See, this is only according to Rabbi Kiva. Because if Taloch is Rabbi Kiva, yeah, then if it's a negative commandment, the Kedushin is effective, but you can't live with her, There's a million cases where the Gedushin is valid, but you still can't stay married to the woman. But Rabbi Kiva says any negative commandment to Gedushin is not valid. So Gemara is trying to figure out where do we have a case, according to Rabbi Kiva, that the Gedushin is valid, but you can't stay married to him.
This is the famous Rabbi Akiva who died at the hands of the Romans.
This is it, the one and only.
Wow. He started learning at 40, right?
Yeah. And look what he became. There's hope for all of us. Okay, now the Gemara says this is an easy piece of Gemara. Amar Rav Chista, Hakol Meidim. Now, a woman, when she's a Nida, you can't have relations with her. Right? You can't have relations with her. So now the question is, if he rapes a girl who's a Nida, is there fine or not?
The capital punishment.
Huh? Yeah, but the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Chista, Hakol Meidim, everybody, Shimon HaTeimani, Shimon Ben Manasseh, everybody says, HaBaal HaNida, Shemeshalim Knas. Why? It's
that
very
there,
simple.
There
is fine. Why? He said, Lamandu Amar Yesh Ba'avaya, according to the person that says it's only a possibility of being Kedushin, Hanami Yavet, there's Kedushin by a Nida. Even opinion says you need to be able to live with her, stay married to her. Need also, she goes to the mikveh, you can stay married to her. In other words, like this. If a guy comes over to a woman, even by a chasin atay, many times the kala is a nida. Yeah, but the kedushin is still valid. Right? Even though you can't live with her right now because she's tamei, but she can go to the mikveh and you could stay married to her. Right? So therefore, according to all opinions, if a guy raped, God forbid, a woman while she was a nida, not a married woman, a single girl, while she was a nida, then he would have to pay the knas. Okay? This part of the Gemara is over. Now the Gemara is going into a very interesting Gemara that we mentioned in the Mishnah, but now is the Gemara talking about it. In the Mishnah, it said a din that if somebody has relations with his, if somebody rapes his sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister, his wife's sister, okay, he says all these cases, because it's only kares, God kills you, he has to pay the fine. What happens though, the Gemara, the Mishnah didn't say it, but this is what the Mishnah is implying. What happens if a guy rapes a married woman? A guy rapes a married woman. There's no fine. Why? Because you get capital punishment from Beis Din, and there's a din, kimlei bedaraba mine. Kimlei means we give him, bedaraba, the bigger of the punishments. Which means, if a guy simultaneously desecrated Shabbos and destroyed property, he doesn't have to pay for the property that he damaged. Why? He's going to get put to death by Beis Din. Because you're getting capital punishment, you don't pay the fine.
Who compensates the poor homeowner?
If somebody kills a guy, and while he's killing him, he ruins his garment, and the family says, pay for the garment.
Oh my God.
Right? He doesn't have to pay for the garment. Why? Capital punishment, that's it. So that's what.
In civil law, there's the monetary damage too.
What?
In civil law, there's monetary damages.
In that case, in civil law, you would have to pay the monetary damages, yeah.
On top of the death sentence.
Sure.
In civil law,
there's no kim labor that happened. And in fact, the Gemara is going to ask, where do we learn this out from? But in the Mishnah, it stated, and the Gemara is going to say, our Mishnah is only one opinion. Our Mishnah says, if you have relations with your sister or your mother's sister, the punishment is not capital punishment from Beis Din. You get kares. God kills you before your time. Our Mishnah says, that when don't you pay money? Only when the courts kill you. But if God kills you, this concept of bigger, smaller, bigger, you know, doesn't apply. So that's what the end of our Mishnah said. If you live with your father's, your mother's sister, your father's sister, your own sister, your wife's sister, the punishment is not, Beis Din doesn't kill you.
Own sister, no?
No, Beis Din kills, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Abala Chesei, okay, all these things, it says, Rashi says, it's only Kares. Okay? And this Tan of our Mishnah holds, if you get kares, you still have to pay money. If Beis Din kills you, everybody says you don't pay money. Our Mishnah said that even in a case where you only get kares, you still have to pay the money. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to quote a big argument about this. There's another opinion, who is Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, who says, just a capital punishment frees you from payment. Kares also frees you from payment.
But Rabbi David asked a question before, I'm wondering, so who pays the poor guy for the property damage, the guy who destroyed his property on Shabbos?
Insurance, hopefully.
Insurance.
That's probably it.
I'll tell you another din that the Mishnah says. Cheder sheita v'katan, person who's deaf-mute, kid under bar bas mitzvah, or somebody who is not all there.
Yeah.
If they damage your property, they don't pay.
If they're below bar mitzvah?
Yeah. Not in civil law, but in Torah law, today it doesn't apply because civil laws. In Torah law, if two kids in school under bar mitzvah get into a fight, and one kid breaks the other kid's $500 pair of glasses, yeah? Parents don't have to pay.
Really?
In Torah law. Today it's different because civil law says yes and Torah law says yes.
How does
he's not responsible for his actions.
Wow.
The parents are not responsible for what the kid does.
Oh, that's if he's something wrong with the kid.
No, no, or a kid under bar mitzvah.
Oh, I see.
Or even a sheit if he's mentally
because kids under 13, they
don't know what they're doing.
The other kids.
No, they're immature. They're not responsible.
The parents are not responsible for this child.
No.
Why?
That's what the Torah says. The parent didn't do it.
I'll give another.
We mentioned this. There's another example we mentioned. Listen to me. According to Torah law, there's no community property. You know that. According to Torah law, the husband owns everything.
Really, even today?
In California law. In Torah law, the husband owns whatever the wife does. It has, right? With few exceptions. What happens if a wife goes and damages somebody's property? She has no money, because everything belongs to the husband, right? Does the husband have to pay for it? No. He said, I'm not responsible for what my wife does. So the din is, listen what the din is. She has an obligation to pay, but she has no money, so she can't. It remains a debt that if she ever gets divorced, or widowed, or she gets her own money, she has to pay it back. It could be 30 years from now. She has to pay it back. I'm talking about Torah law, as it was then. Well, husband not responsible for what? Now, Chereshayte, because deaf mute is also mentally off. This is what Allah is. A person Abachzeshayte, they don't like using the word, they're mentally retarded. Or a kid under Bar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, you know something? Pegiyasin Ra. Meeting them is very bad. Meeting with them is very bad. Why? If you damage them, you have to pay. But if they damage you, they don't have to pay. Okay. So I'm saying, how do we get into this? Because the din of Kimle B'd Rabamine, that you have to pay damages, according to our Mishnah, is only when Beis Din kills you, that's when you don't have to pay. But if you get Chorus, then you do have to pay. Because, look, bro, you're not dying now. 1 minute. So the Gemara says, This is to exclude the opinion of an Ibn Chunya ben Akana. Why? The Tanya we learn to the Braiser, Rabbi Nachon, Yaban HaKonah, Yo'eisa, Yem HaKippur, and B'Shabbos, L'Tashchumim. Rabbi Nachon, Yaban HaKonah, made Yom Kippur like Shabbos. Now, if somebody desecrates Shabbos, it's capital punishment by Bezdin, stoning, right? If somebody desecrates Yom Kippur, Bezdin doesn't kill you. It's only Chorus, God kills you. So according to, not Rabbi Nachon, Yaban HaKonah, according to our Mishnah, if somebody damages somebody on Yom Kippur while they're desecrating Yom Kippur, according to our Mishnah, he would have to pay the money anyway, because he's only getting chorus. Bezdin's not killing him. God is killing him. And our Mishnah holds that chorus does not free you from the debt. But Rabbi Nachon ben Akonya says, no, Shabbos and Yom Kippur are equal. Just like Shabbos, when Bezdin kills you, you don't have to pay damages. The same thing Yom Kippur. When God kills you, you also don't have to pay damages. That's what he says. Ma Shabbos. Joseph be Shabbos. Mischai ben Afshu, when somebody desecrates Shabbos, the Bezdin kills you. Potim and Tashlum, you don't have to pay. Afyeim HaKippurim, the same thing Yom Kippur. Mischai ben Afshu, where God kills you, and the same thing Potim and Tashlum, you don't have to pay. Okay? Now, the Gemara asks, why? What's the reason of Nechuni Ben Akona? So the Gemara says like this. My time in Rabbi Nechuni Ben Akona. What's the reason of Rabbi Nechuni Ben Akona? So he says like this. Amar Abaye. Abaye says like this. Nemer Osim Bidei Odom. By court death, it says, okay, okay. The pasuk says like this. It says, "V'lo yi'asein anish yanish." Okay. Now, what's the case of the pasuk? Pasuk is in Mishpatim. Two guys are in fighting. Two guys got into a fight, fist fight. And while they're fighting, they hit a pregnant woman who caused her to miscarry.
Oh, man.
So the Torah says like this. If v'lo yi'as, and let's read the Pasuk from the Chumash. Chafalev Chabev. Okay.
Got a page in the beginning. It's getting
all crushed. Thank you. Okay. Here the Pasuk says like this. Ki yinotzu anashim, if two men are fighting, v'nok v'isha hara, and by mistake they push the pregnant woman, v'yotzu yiladeha, and she miscarried, v'lo yiyaosin, but the woman did not suffer fatal injury, then onesh yonesh, she has to pay a penalty. So listen to this. The pasuk says clearly that if there was an accident, meaning if the woman died, well, you're going to get capital punishment, then you don't have to pay a fine. Because what does the Torah say? If there was no punishment because you didn't kill the woman, so you're not getting capital punishment, then you have to pay the fine. From there we learn out that if there is a bigger punishment, you don't have to pay the fine. That's what the Torah says. Because if they killed the woman,
capital punishment.
So then the Torah says, if there was no capital punishment, then you have to pay the fine. Now, if you kill somebody, the punishment is court kills you, not chorus. The court kills you. Correct? From there, our Mishnah is of the opinion that the Torah says clearly, if Bezdin kills you, there's no fine. But if Bezdin doesn't kill you, i.e. God kills you, there is a fine. So the Gemara asks, what's the reason of Nechunya ben Akana? Because the Torah only speaks about capital punishment. Asin, that you killed a woman, then you're going to get killed. So Gemara said like this. We learn out what's called the Gezeirah Shava. Bidei Adam, like we just said, in the Pasuk, the accident, if you push the pregnant woman, and it says, Asin Bidei Shemayim. It uses the word Asin, accident, when it comes to death at the hand of heaven. I'll explain in a second. Ma asin amar bidei adam. Just like the word asin by court killing you. You don't have to pay. So because by God killing you, it also uses the word asin. So we learn that even when God kills you, you also don't have to pay penalty. Where is this possible?
Asin mean? I'm sorry.
Huh? Asin literally means accident.
Oh.
If there's no accident, meaning, you're not, if there was, if there was no accident, meaning the woman didn't die, then you have to pay the fine. Which means if the woman died, you don't have to pay the fine.
Because you get the bigger right?
Amount. Now, over there it uses the word asin, which means accident.
Okay.
But the pasuk only openly means in the hands of the court. But there's another pasuk that uses the same word asin
when it's talking about Hashem.
When it's talking about God.
Right.
So therefore here it says asin. And here it says asin, what's called gzeirah shava. We're learning one din from the next, that even when God kills you,
there's still a fine.
There's going to be a fine. There's no fine.
There's no fine. Oh, right, no fine.
Now, where does it say this?
No.
It says like this. When Yaakov did not want to send Binyamin down to Egypt, you know, Yosef says, let me see your younger brother. The brothers come up to Yaakov. Yaakov says, no, I can't. Why? Because he says, "Pen yikra'en asayin, maybe an accident will happen to Binyamin, and then I'm done. I'm not going to be able to live anymore." Now, what type of accident is he talking about? God. He'll die somehow.
Why would that be on Yaakov? Why would that be on Yaakov?
No, Yaakov, I'm just telling you, that's the story there. Yaakov said, because maybe an accident will happen, maybe he'll die.
So he couldn't bear himself.
He couldn't bear it. But it's talking about a death, not by court, by heaven.
Right.
So this is what he learns out. So Mechunim and Akana says, Jasek over there, by court kill you. It says the word Asin. And you don't have to pay damages. So when God kills you, it also says you don't have to pay damages.
So what does this have to do with Yaakov?
No, that's what the pasuk says. But Yaakov, it says that word asin, but it's referring to heavenly court killing. The kid will die by an accident on the way.
You mean that God created that
yeah.
accident?
Right.
You mean that Binyamin might have deserved the punishment, maybe?
But the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Maybe that danger Yaakov was talking about was a human danger.
Okay, so wait a minute. First we thought maybe it meant that Hashem would think that Binyamin's guilty of something needs to be punished from heaven?
No. Yaakov just said, I don't want to send the kid, because I'm afraid something's going to happen to him.
Just stop.
Yeah. Okay. But the Torah uses the word asayin, the same word it uses by capital.
But what do we learn from that connection?
Because that's what's called Gezeirah Shavah. Here it says a word, there it says a similar word. We like them both, deem them together.
But with Yaakov, there's no din, there's no transgression.
Yeah, but you see that asin means even a heavenly punishment.
Oh, you mean because if an accident would have happened, it's because God said
right.
it should have happened.
So you see that the word asin could mean not only the court killing you, but even God kills you.
Yeah, but in the case of Yaakov, there's no fine or anything. I don't think.
But there could be still be death. At the hand of God.
Because he deserved it somehow.
No, we're not going into that. See, you're mixing up, you're learning.
No, because I don't see where you can make a comparison.
Because there it says a word, and here it says a word.
Period.
That's it. This word, same word, we liken the two cases. Now, the scenario by Yaakov was not the court was going to kill Binyamin. An accident's going to happen. Where does an accident come from? From God.
Oh, I see.
So you see that even when God kills you, it's called accident.
Oh, I see.
And therefore we say then, if that's the case, then there's no payment. But the Gemara asks a very simple question. How do you know we're talking about heavenly accidents, maybe earthly accidents?
Well, But even that doesn't happen.
1 minute. Maskula Ravada Baravam Mimai the Chamazul Hu Yaakov Banel. How do we know Yaakov is warning about his children? I'd seen him the pachan on heat and cold. Dibidei Shemaim Ninu, that they're in the hands of God. Maybe the weather will be too cold or hot or whatever. Dilma al Ariye Veganva Dibiyad Adam Ninu. Maybe he's talking about a lion will eat him up, or maybe robbers will kill him.
But even that can't happen unless God deems it.
Yeah, but it's still the earthly punishment rather than the heavenly punishment. The whole proof of the Gemara is to prove that heavenly punishment is the word asing. The word asing.
Accident.
Right. So the Gemara says, no, how do you know it's heavenly punishment? Maybe the asing, the Yaakov Avinu, is talking about earthly accidents, not heavenly accidents.
What's the difference between a heavenly accident and earthly?
If the court kills you or God kills you. Okay. Otto Yaakov aho ada aholah. So the Gemara says, "What do you think? Yaakov only warned about one type of danger, not the other." I'll call Yaakov. I'll call me. He warned of both heaven, earth,
anything.
Right. So, but the Gemara asks another interesting question. The Gemara asks, "Death at the hand of cold and hot is not godly. It's earthly." The Gemara says, "The Tanya hakol bidei shemayim." All misfortunes, all illnesses come from God, except from sickness brought on by cold and heat. Because, as Rashi says, that's the person's own negligence. Heat and cold, you should have gotten a jacket or not stayed out in the heat.
The lion would be what? The lion would be...
From God.
Right.
And where do we learn this out from? So it says, Shenem et sinim pachem ederech ikesh. It says, cold and heat are the path of the perverse. One who guides his soul will distance himself from them. And the Gemara also asks, Vesui, Arye, Veganva, Bini, Adam, you know, and a lion and a person kills you, it's in the hands of God? I'm sorry, the hands of man, it also is from God. Why? Because Rav Yosef said, V'chein toni Rav Chiya, it says like this, Miyayim Shechare Beis HaMikdash, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we learned this Gemara in Sanhedrin already. Afal pi shabatul Sanhedrin, even though there's no rabbinic court anymore to give capital punishment, but arba misis lebatul. In other words, like this. Rav Yosef says, even though today we don't have a bezdin, but there's still capital punishment. So Gemara right away asks, lebatul, but there is no capital punishment today. There's no court. How could it be capital punishment? So he says like this. Elo, what it means like this. Next page. Din arba misas lebatul. In other words, courts can't kill you, but God will give you the punishment similar to what the court was supposed to give you. And the Gemara says, what does it mean? Mishin is chayiv skila, a person that desecrated Shabbos publicly and is supposed to get stoned. A nefil min agag, either is going to fall off from a roof or trampled by a beast, which is both the concept of stoning. Any guy that got stoned, before they didn't see people misinterpret. Stoning doesn't mean they stand there with a bunch of stones and throw it at you. They threw the guy off a second story tower, and then they put a stone on his head.
Maybe they put a stone on his head. Maybe they drop a stone on his head.
No, if the guy died, they just put a stone on the head.
Really?
If he fell off and still didn't die, then they stoned him. So a guy that did an aver of getting skila, he's going to fall off a roof, or an animal's going to tear him apart, which is like stoning him. Mishin is chayiv strefa, a person that did a sin that you're supposed to get burnt for. A nefil b'dleika, either you're going to fall into a fire, God forbid a fire will kill you, or nachash makishe, or a snake will bite you, because the venom of a snake is hot. Mishin is chayiv hariga, a person who's supposed to get beheaded. A nimsil amalchus, either he's going to be given over to the king and they'll kill him, or listen, or he'll be attacked by bandits and he'll get killed. Mishin is chayiv bechenek, a person who is supposed to get strangled. Either tevei benar, he's going to die and drown in a river, that's basically it. Or he's going to get besrunchi, quinzy. Basically, you can't breathe. That's what the illness. You can't breathe and you die. So the Gemara's question is very simple. If a lion kills you, that's because God's punishing you for something you did. So how could the Gemara say it's only earthly damages? The Gemara says not earthly damages. It's coming from heaven. So then, like, how are you learning this out? That Chorus can get capital punishment, you know, it's either coming from God or it's in Bidei Adam, whichever one. Okay, so we're going to leave it now. The Gemara goes into a whole Megill over here.
Only people with charisma get killed by lions.